We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of 3Maw.
Hello and welcome into another edition of 3Maw. I am John Kurz, joined by Cole Manbeck today. We do not have Derek Young. We do have Matt Wells, who is the new K-State co-offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, and associate head coach, and we are thrilled to get a chance to chat with him. And, of course, as we start every pod, we've got to remind you about our friends at Holiday Distillery. Great K-State folks who bring you 360 Vodka and Ben Holiday Bottled in Bond Bourbon. So get out and support them. Find it wherever you can. Stock up for your tailgates. Stock up for your watch parties. We got plenty of hoops left to watch this season. So lots of reason to get out there and grab that. We appreciate their support as always. We also appreciate Matt Wells taking the time to join us here. I know it's a very busy time, as if there's a time that's not busy on the calendar of a college football head coach throughout the year. But Coach, we really appreciate it. How the first couple of months on the job in Manhattan been for you?
So awesome. Thanks for having me on. But such a great experience. I mean, the people here in Manhattan have been awesome, and you feel the love. And when you do get out of the building, which is usually just to the basketball game or out to eat, but just the time with the staff and the players, it's about the people. It's Chris Klieman, it's the staff, it's the culture, the quarterbacks, just being able to dive into our offense and learn as well as evolve where we're taking this thing, and then getting with the quarterbacks. So that, for the last 2 months after recruiting in January, have been taking up most of my time.
Well, I know there's a lot that makes sense logically when you walk it through, right? You spend time at Oklahoma, obviously Texas Tech. We know that you're friends with Chris Klieman. But in your words, like, what was it that really attracted you to this opportunity and made this something that you wanted to do?
Yeah, that's easy, because once I decided I wanted an opportunity to hopefully get back on the grass, so to speak, and be an assistant again, that, and I've said this, I think I said it in the press conference, but it's the same answer. It was, I wanted to work for a head coach that I knew and respected, in a program that had a great culture and was winning, and was looking forward to an opportunity to hopefully coach quarterbacks. And when coach called, all three boxes were checked. And you know, in our profession and in my world, I knew how a low percentage chance was that I wanted all those things, that I was going to get it. And that's why it's a God thing. And I mean that very sincerely, that I believe that this opportunity came from him. And I do believe that timing is everything in this profession. And so with me and my family and where we're at on our journey with our kids, the timing was perfect.
Well, Coach, appreciate you jumping on with us. And on that note, you've been a college head coach for 9 years, and you were just mentioning it. You were just recently an offensive analyst at Oklahoma prior to taking the job at K-State. I'm just curious, what were some of the responsibilities you had as an analyst, and just how different was that from your prior coaching experiences?
Yeah, well, First of all, you don't have to worry about academics or compliance or recruiting, really. Now, I love to recruit, and I helped to recruit once the kids got on campus, especially with some young men that we had relationships with, I had relationships with from the previous school before Oklahoma. So, but reality minimized, and so it was, 95% football. A role with Coach Venables, which included game situations and game, situation mastery, game management, all the things that go into that, as well as helping Jeff Levy and our offensive staff, sitting in the quarterback room every day and being a part of that, with a role in part of the game planning and just learning, and being a sponge. And I think if you're not learning and you're not open to ideas, you're going to grow stagnant, any profession. And so I felt, for OU, I think maybe after 26 years of coaching is spending those 20, or 25 years of coaching, spending the next 2 years, for me, it was, man, I am going to be quiet. I'm going to listen and I'm just going to learn. And then when they ask, I'm going to be able to try to help from my experiences and knowledge from some of the roles that I'd had previously. So hopefully it helped just a little bit. And it was fun for me just to learn from BV, to learn from Jeff Levy. And I feel very, very fortunate because in our profession, those opportunities don't come along, guys, very much, where you can take a little bit more of a back seat and learn, like an apprenticeship, if you will. And so for me, whether it was programmatically, if I ever get a chance to be a head coach again, recruiting, management, personnel, organization to specific football. And so for me, really, that football part, now that I'm here at K-State, is really, I feel, has helped me grow, learn, and to see something at a high level on offense in the passing game, really done at a really, really high level and efficient level, how to coach it, how to teach it, and how to repeat. And so you get a growth in the learning for like receivers and quarterbacks. And so for me, truly, truly beneficial that hopefully I can make us better.
That's really interesting stuff. And Coach, spring football right around the corner for you guys. I'm just curious, what are some of the top priorities you and the staff are hoping to accomplish on the offensive side of the football during the spring?
Well, I think synergy on offense. I think knowing who we are, things, there's a lot of that synergy. When you look at the offensive staff, four guys coming back, but there's a guy in a new role and Connor Riley being the chair at the end of the table, if you will. And me being the new guy coming in and learning what has made K-State so successful on offense and then saying, okay, now where do we go next? We got to reduce this and improve this? And what about the new players? I mean, we're losing some old linemen. We've got a brand new quarterback from a starting perspective. DJ's coming back. There's some of the receivers coming back. The tight end room loses a really good player, but some guys coming back with experience. But what do we do best? And what does number two do best? And then let's expand on that. But let's stay true to what's made K-State great, which is part of the reason that I wanted to come. So that's a balancing act. And so that's what's been fun. So I think those are the main focuses on spring ball. And then you got new personnel. So there's the obvious personnel evaluations and improvements that we have within the offense.
Yeah, you brought up Connor Riley, what is the dynamic between you two as far as it goes with a co-offensive coordinator situation? Is it more like run game, pass game, or do you guys even know at this point exactly what that's going to look like?
Oh, I think I don't think you so much have to draw a line in the sand here in February and say, here's what it looks like. I think more than anything, it's Connor teaching me everything we've done and then asking questions and me being able to just help us grow and things that I've been accustomed to that we want to go to. So I will say this for a guy that's a longtime O-line guy. He has been a tight end coach before. I think he's got a tremendous grasp and perspective on the passing game, so much more than quite a few online coaches and most coaches. And you know, you can, as coaches, you grow up in the world that sometimes either you played in or I've always coached in. For instance, a receiver coach, sometimes that's his only world. Sometimes receiver coaches have a really good grasp on how the run game works and the protections fit. Connor, there's the reason he was promoted from Coach Kleiman, is extremely smart, very cerebral, but that doesn't make him boring and that doesn't make him stale, because I know he can get after those O-linemen and he does a great job with the run game. But I'm going to tell you, he's got a really good feel for the passing game. But as most good coaches do, I think he is right on track to what's best for K-State, what's best for Avery, what's best for the O-line, and how do we continue to do that in the running game, and then what's the best for our receivers and skill guys. And man, it's fun. It's been fun working through everything and sitting in there together with him for man, a lot of hours all day, and really probably more football heavy, you know, and recruiting in there as well. But probably this will be the heaviest because of a new coordinator and a new quarterback coach in this offense than we'll be in the Februarys after, and be able to focus on different things in the years to come. But man, it's been fun.
I can remember back to, I think it was 2021 Big 12 Media Day that I was at, when I asked Chris Kleiman, just kind of offhand question that you ask it, something like that, like who do you have the best relationship with as far as coaches go in the country? I think I maybe even asked the country and not just the Big 12. And he said, Matt Wells. So how far do you go back with Coach Kleiman, and what's that relationship been like over the years?
It's been really good. It started 10 years ago, 11 years ago. When I looked into potentially hiring him as a D coordinator when I was a first-year head coach at Utah State. And, you know, after he decided to stay and knew the future for him was to be a head coach and hopefully right there, which actually happened a year later at NDSU, just a friendship. And not more than a friendship, it grew to a professional and a friendship, and just many phone calls and obviously Big 12 meetings together, but with entering the league at the same time, both of us in 2019, and maybe a week apart. I don't know exactly the days, but that December of 2018, but just, you know, going through COVID together and being on all those Big 12 calls, but just, you know, programmatically and personally, just a lot of things that I just think the conversations over the years has allowed us to grow. And just I've got a really good friendship, but a tremendous respect for him as a man, as a leader, and as a coach. And man, it's fun to see him on a daily basis lead this program, and there couldn't be a better leader for K-State.
Coach, I'm curious on that front, because given the past relationship you had with Coach Kleiman and on the hiring process, I'm wondering if you could just share a few high-level details of how that went down. Was this just something where Coach Kleiman called you? You accepted kind of on the spot via a phone call? Did you fly into Manhattan and want to talk and meet with the rest of the staff and do in person and maybe even meet with some of the players before you accepted? How did that all kind of shake out?
Yeah, you know, busy time in December for both of us. So really nothing in person in December. But I think when you've had enough football conversations over the years, there's a certain starting point that may be different than in most conversations. And so conversations with Connor Riley a lot during December, bowl prep for us Oklahoma, bowl prep at Kansas State. So a lot of busyness. And I know we played on the same night, you know, in December. And so those conversations certainly, you know, I remember having a FaceTime and a long conversation with Avery prior to. And so those certainly occurred, and then, you know, got a chance to come into Manhattan in early January. So, you know, those were conversations, and I think as they went, and then when both bowl games concluded, you know, at some point Coach offered me the job, and it was pretty quick yes for the Wells family.
Well, you mentioned, Coach, you FaceTimed with Avery then before taking the job. I'm just curious kind of what was the message or the tone of the conversation that you wanted to deliver in that? Did you guys get into schematics or just wanted to get to know each other?
All the above. C, both A and B. I mean, we talked everything. Quarterback, fundamentals, guys that I'd coached in the past. And, you know, that was right in the heat of the playoffs. So obviously Jordan came up and just conversation there, but getting to know each other, you know, kind of starting that process and letting him ask questions and getting to know who he is and his family. His dad got on for quite a while, and it was just awesome. It was easy. And so, you know, I wasn't trying to sell him on anything. I was just, you know, I think relationships can grow when they're built on trust, and trust takes time. And so that was obviously very, very early stages of that. And man, he and I have spent a ton of time together on the weekends in January and then through this whole month of February. And the guy's a sponge. He's hungry. He's hungry to be not good, but great. And he's in this office right there on that couch a lot on his own.
Well, when you're out there cheering on Avery Johnson this fall, everybody, and checking out Matt Wells and the Cats, make sure that you're in your home field apparel. Go to homefieldapparel.com. You can use promo code 3LAW23 to get 15% off your first order. They've got 40-plus K-State designs there. If you want, you can check out 100-plus other teams as well, but I'm telling you, the 40-plus K-State designs they have there are awesome. You see us wearing it frequently, so make sure you get to homefieldapparel.com. Again, promo code 3LAW23 to get 15% off your first order.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You bring up Jordan Love, and that was something I wanted to ask about because, I mean, we know you've hit the recruiting trail very hard here early on, and I'm sure that's got to help, right, to have that in your back pocket. Oh, by the way, I coached this guy who's now tearing it up in the NFL. What kind of an impact does that make when you can point to an example like that of a guy that is having so much success right now at the next level?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things you recruit to. You recruit to the logo that you're at, the culture, the head coach, the system. And then recruits check out you. And so you're recruiting to yourself and your personality and how much you hit it off. And then, you know, high-end level recruits want to know your past and your success. And so that all plays a part. That's why it's important. Everything's important in recruiting. And your previous history, good or bad, will come up at some point with the recruiting you, or it'll be an opposing coach recruiting against you. That's bringing up, you know, he doesn't have any experience with any high-level quarterbacks, or what's their success been the last 5 years and the most recent? And has he been at an offense and had a hand or helping or anything with passing success? That all going to come up. And so when it doesn't come up in a negative way, that means you've been fortunate to be a part of some really good offenses and players. And so that all matters. You're dadgum right, it matters. Yeah, I mean, because coaches are looking, especially when you're about to beat some schools on a kid, they're looking for negatives. And they're going to point it out. And I think sometimes that just shows recruits, you know, either their, you know, inadequacies or insecurities. And so recruit from a positive perspective. And, man, it's, I don't have to sell K-State. You just present it. I mean, the wins, the bowl games, Coach Klieman's success, Coach Klieman's success with quarterbacks. When you add that together from a head coach and a quarterback coach together, in this league, that can be a pretty powerful tool to recruit with.
It's crazy that I'm asking this question because it was not that long ago that you were a head coach, but since the time that you were and you were recruiting then to recruiting now, how much has that landscape changed with the advent of NIL and the way that that's taken off and the portal and just everything that goes into it now? How different is it from the last time that you were doing that?
180. Not even the same. It's not even, and it changed the 3 years I was at Texas Tech. It changed from 2019 to 2021 with that portal opening right there and at the end of my era or tenure or whatever at Tech. And then over the last 2 years, significantly with the open market and the free transfer. So certainly that, coupled with NIL, is a whole different game.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, how much time – did you take, you took the job. How much time have you spent watching film of the guys from last year? You know, all the guys, not just Avery, a quarterback, right? But the overall offense, the offensive line, the returning receivers, tight ends, Garrett Oakley, et cetera. I'm just curious how much time you spent on that.
All day. I mean, that's all we do in here. I mean, I know we recruit a little bit, you know, right now, and we meet with the players when we can, and we're watching early morning runs, but the offensive staff, I mean, it's cut-ups. It's past. We go back to 2022, go back to 2021, watching Oklahoma from the last 2 years from all my cut-ups and different concepts, and that's all we're doing. And so inevitably, even when you're watching a concept of a route or a concept, a run game concept, you're inevitably watching the players as well and constantly asking who's that, or, you know, you're coming up with some evaluations. But, you know, I also like to have a blank slate. And give those guys, you know, an opportunity to improve. And I think that's important as coaches. But yeah, your past matters. What you put on tape matters. And so I do get a chance to watch those guys.
Obviously, we've talked about Avery a couple different things. I do want to ask you, I mean, what has stood out to you the most about him since getting to know him?
Well, without coaching him on the field yet, and that's starting next Tuesday, I would just say the things that have stood out to me is he's really, really competitive in the early morning runs and the competition and the weight room. He's a competitor. He competes against himself. He wants to be great. And he's hungry to learn. So I think those are the things that I would just say he's the competitiveness in him and the hunger to be great and how much he spends watching film and learning, and he's hungry to learn and watch quarterbacks that, you know, I think things that they can do or that he can see in them that can help improve him. Guys, that's what I would probably take away in these early days. And the next day, there'll be another answer probably at the end of spring ball, just because I'll get to coach him on the grass. But highly competitive and a burning desire and a hunger to be great from a football IQ perspective.
That's maybe another question that the answer could change by the end of spring ball, but, and I'll leave it fairly open-ended here, but when you envision what this offense is going to look like during the upcoming season, what is ideal in your world? What do you want this offense to look like?
Well, first and foremost, establish the run, and you got to be able to run the football, I believe, in the month of November to win in the league. And so you have to establish the run and establish the run. Now it's going to be able to open up your lanes, either in the RPO game or in the play action pass game. And so efficiency from our receivers in their route running, in the consistency, which will lead to hopefully a higher completion percentage and an accurate quarterback. So just being efficient in the passing game when we do throw it. And so, you know, I just think as the offense evolves and there's so many new players that are going to be taking roles. And when I say new, I mean young players that had part-time roles now hopefully earning full-time roles. So that'll be what's fun to see the progress throughout 15 practices.
And I don't mean to put you on the spot too much here, but...
But you're going to, I can tell. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works.
I can handle it. Let's go.
Right. Okay. All right. I just wanted a good Chris Kleiman story or something that we don't know about Chris Kleiman that would be interesting. Like Chris Kleiman, the guy.
Man, we hadn't even thrown a touchdown pass yet. I mean, come on, man. I don't know if I got enough built up to do this on a recorded. I don't know. I don't know. I can tell you there's nowhere in Iowa that I went, and I went to like five towns and maybe seven or eight schools in Iowa that don't love him and know him, or his brother or his family. But I don't have any stories. I'm not going to say it right now, but let's talk again at the end of spring. How about that?
Okay. Well, how about this, Coach? Because I was going to ask you that. I was going to ask you this in a different way. So we've had over the last couple of years on the pod, we've had Adrian Martinez, Will Howard, we had Avery on last year as guests. And one of the things that they've told us each one of them has brought up on their own accord is how unique and valuable it is to have a guy like Coach Kleiman, who's a defensive minded coach, sit down with them, meet with them in the QB room each week, go through what he's seeing an opposing defense try to do. Just, I'm curious from your perspective, how valuable is it to have a head coach willing to do that and bring that perspective to the table?
It's huge. It's a huge advantage for these quarterbacks at K-State. Maybe just why you've seen really good quarterback play. I mean, like, real talk. That's a DB by experience, a DB coach by trade, all right, in a defensive mindset. And again, just like in recruiting, okay, he now has street cred, right, with the players because, I mean, Easton Stick, Carson Wentz, Trey Lance, and then let's get to K-State with the successful K-State quarterback starting with Skyler all the way through Will to and I know I didn't say Adrian, but yeah, Adrian to Will to now Avery. I mean, those guys get to sit down with him weekly. He explained this to me during recruiting when we were in the car one day down in Texas or maybe we were in Oklahoma, but explained it to me how he does it. And I'm like, Coach, that's awesome. I mean, what valuable knowledge from an insightful guy from the other side of the ball to help feed into them and also create trust and create a relationship with the head coach and a quarterback that I think it's very, very valuable. It's invaluable for those guys. And again, maybe, not maybe, for sure part of the reason why you've seen very good quarterback plays, Chris Kleiman's a little bit of the secret sauce behind it.
Love that. Love that. Look at that. Cole did a better job asking that question than I did. Nice job, Cole. Good job with that.
Yeah, you're right, John. He did.
But see, Coach, we're going to be best friends if you take shots at John.
Hey, Matt, we really appreciate you taking some time for us. We're thrilled to have you here in Manhattan. And best of luck getting everything going with spring ball, man. We can't wait to see you guys out there on the field.
Thanks. To be continued. Appreciate y'all having me on. Go Cats.